All right, Tavosei, let's begin. So we left off. We're on Daf Pehei Amud Aleph today. Daf Pehei Amud Aleph. So if you remember again, we started with a very interesting sugya today. The Mishnah spoke about the idea that if you have an aruga, aruga by the way literally means a row. Here we're using it to mean a patch, like a garden patch. So if you have an aruga, if you have a garden patch that is shisha al shisha, six tefachim by six tefachim. So what did the Mishnah say? You could sow within that patch five different species. Right? Four on each of the, the four sides, the peripheral sides, and one in the middle. Now, I want to point something out over here. It's very important. That the issue over here that we're going to see now, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is one of kilayim. Kilayim means that you're not permitted to go ahead and plant multiple species together. Now, you have to understand something. This is not real kilayim over here. The reason why it's not real kilayim is because, first of all, this being machlokis as to what actually kilayim actually occurs to. So some say, it's only wheat and grapes. Others say it's b'ma polisyad mamish, it's the seeds actually planted together, or it's the plants planted in direct proximity. What the Mishnah is more concerned about over here is the appearance of kilayim. That if things grow too closely together, then ultimately, again, it looks like kilayim. We're not really meaning... the reason I'm saying this, because let's say you were to go ahead and plant this patch within five tefachim. So the truth is, you wouldn't be in violation. You might be a violation of a din d'rabbana, but you're not in violation of kilayim d'araisa. So says the Gemara, top of Pehe, the kimlu l'rabbanan, dechamsha b'shisa lo yankin mehadadi. So the rabbis have established that if you have five species within what? Within six tefachim, six by six tefachim, then they do not derive any kind of, they do not derive sustenance from each other. Now really what that means when it says they do not derive sustenance from each other, it means that they're not deriving sustenance from the same soil. Right? That each is deriving sustenance, nutrients from its own respective soil. So where do the rabbis get this from? I mean, where do you get six tefachim? Where does that shear come from? How do you know it's not four tefachim? Maybe it's ten. Why six tefachim? It's actually very interesting. So the Gemara says the following. I will say, I have to appreciate something. The question of the Gemara is predicated on the idea that that Chazal are not agricultural experts. Right? Chazal know Torah, just like Chazal are not medical experts. And so they're not agricultural experts. So where do they get this shear of shisha tefachim? So this is a fascinating Gemara. So the Gemara says the following. Uminalan, daha kim luhul rabbanan, milsi. Right? So the Gemara says, how do we know that the rabbis knew, where did the rabbis know this idea that five species in six tefachim is not considered to be kilayim? Da amar Rav Chiya bar amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Chiya bar amar sending Rav Yochanan the following idea. Ma'i dechsiv, what's the meaning of the pasuk? Lo sasik gavul re'acha, asher gavlu rishonim. So, literally translated, do not go ahead and encroach or take the border of your friend that was demarcated by the earlier ones. So, we'll say, just so you understand, look at Rashi for just a moment. The technical halacha over here, Gvur Re'acha, Rashi says, Lita Samuch Lemeitzar, Lahachish Karko, Keshir Asher Gavlu Rishonim. So, we'll say, it's interesting. Now, normally, we understand this, Lo Sasi Gvur Re'acha. The literal interpretation of this is what? That I shouldn't move my friend's boundary marker. That, my friend goes to sleep at night, and what do? Each night I pick up his fence, and I move it like another 2 inches. So don't encroach on... So Rashi points out over here that Chazal had a different understanding as well. Gvuri acho, lita samuch lemeitzar. Don't plant too close to your friend's property wall. Why? Lahachish karko. Because what happens, apparently, if you plant something too close to a wall, what ends up happening is the roots of the item either grow under the wall or next to the wall, weaken the soil, and can thereby weaken the wall as well. Therefore, kishir asher gavlu rishonim, umiem harishonim, amuroim, v'chivim shay bikim bekakpan. So now the Gemara goes on. Lo sasik vori acha asher gavlu rishonim. Now, what the Gemara is intrigued by is lashon of this pasuk. So do not go ahead and, let's say, take or erode the boundary of your friend that the earlier ones demarcated. Now again, Pashat Pshat, and Asher Gavli Rishonim means what? That earlier generations, right, the previous owners, when they surveyed the property, they made the property lines. So don't play around with the property lines. But look how the Gemara darshens it. Gvul, Shegavli Rishonim lo sasik, the boundary that was demarcated by the earlier ones, do not go ahead and take it. My Gavli Rishonim, what does that mean, that the earlier ones demarcated? Amar Rabbi Shlomo bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan. My Tichsiv, what is the meaning of the Pasuk? That is, again, he's quoting the Pasuk over here from Bereshis. Elu b'nei Seir, hachori yoshvei ha'aretz. These are the people of Seir, the chori who dwell on the earth. Atu kuli alma yoshvei rakia ninhu. What? And is everybody else living in the heavens? I mean, why does it call them yoshvei ha'aretz? Why does it call them dwellers of the land? Listen to this. Ella, because what was special about the chori? Ella, rather, what was unique about them is that they were especially skilled in how to settle the land. They used to say, So apparently, they were very well versed in terms of the different nature of the soil. And so they could look at soil and they could say, Malay kind of literally mean the length of a rod, right? They would say, this area of soil is good for planting olives, and this area of soil is good for planting grapes, and this area of soil is good for planting figs, the chori. And why are they called the chori? Shemarichim es ha'aretz, because they're called chori, because they were able literally to smell the soil, and by just smelling the soil, they were able to see what the quality of the soil was and what it would be usable for. V'chivi, and why are they called the chivi? Amara papa shayutamin es ha'aretz kichivya. They used to taste the soil like a snake, and they were able to just from tasting the soil, be able to discern the quality of the soil and figure out what it would be usable for in terms of planting. So Amravacha Bar Yaakov Amar Chori, why are they called the Chori? Shenaaseh b'nei Chori minichsehon, because ultimately they were freed from their property. Now, being freed from your property is a euphemism for someone else taking your land. Right? You were freed from your property. So we'll say, what's the point over here? So the Gemara is apparently saying that where did Chazal learn what they knew about land or about agriculture from? They learned it from the indigenous nations around them, that there were other people who were exceptionally proficient in this agriculture. So not that Chazal often gleaned much of their knowledge from the experts around them. So the Chori, the Chivi, all these different people who knew land well, apparently they're the ones who told Chazal, from these are the sources that Chazal got this idea that within a patch of six tefachim by six tefachim, the plants will not be deriving any kind of sustenance from common soil. And that's what it means, Asher Gavlu Rishonim, that take the knowledge that the earlier ones had and apply it to your contemporary situations now as well. Fine. Says the Gemara. Amar Ravasi. Ravasi says, Tocha Vav Chutz Migvuleha. Then I will say, Ravasi comes along and qualifies this idea that when we speak about this vegetable patch, this patch has to be six tefachim, independent of or in addition to gvuleha. Gvuleha means its borders. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, "Amar Ravashi aruga sha'amru tzricha liyosvav chutz migvuleha." So when we say it has to be six tefachim is in addition to its boundary. Now, what's the boundary? Shahayu manichin ba'aruga karka chalak svivos hazriya. So apparently the way it used to work is if you had a vegetable patch or you had any kind of garden or field type area, truth is we even see it by fields, they used to leave like a pathway around the field. So let's say, for example, in the case of a vegetable patch, the chapa of the pathway would be that you'd be able to water your plants without trampling on the vegetable patch itself. The Ashma'in and Ravashi, and Rashi continues, and he says, and Ravashi teaches us, Delotema vav im hagvulin, ukesheniach tefachelik lakan, the tefachelik lakan, lote aruga makominikasa ela arba, So therefore, according to Ravashi comes along and says, Rav Asi comes along and says, is aruga tochavav chutz migvulaha. That when we see that the vegetable patch, right, is 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim, that does not include the pathway. So the 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim will be its own shear, and then you'll have an additional pathway around it. So the Gemara says, tiny lam yachiv, Bryce that supports this. Aruga, this vegetable patch that we speak about over here, tocha shisha. The inside of it is 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim. So the Gemara says, gvulaha bakama. And how wide is this gvul, is this pathway around it? So the Gemara says, Kidisnan, Rabbi Huda Omer, Rochav, Kimali Rochav Parsa. The width of the path is the size of the width of the sole of the foot. Amar Rab Zera, B'itema Rabbi Chanina. So Rabbi Zera, and some say Rabbi Chanina, Bar Papa said the following, my time with Rabbi Huda, where does Rabbi Huda get this idea that the pathway has to be the width of a foot? V'chsev, v'hishkisa beraglecha kegan hayarak. So literally it says, and you will go ahead and water on your foot, kegan hayarak, like the vegetable garden. So the point of Rabosa is what? This is about Eretz Yisrael, extolling Eretz Yisrael. So the idea that the Torah says, when watering the garden, the Torah uses this lashon of v'hishkisa beraglecha. What it's saying is, what it's pointing out is that often in Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have to take care of the watering of the plants yourself. So how are you going to do it? V'hishkisa, you're going to walk around the field on your foot. So the fact that the Torah links the word foot with the gan says, maregel tefach, just like a foot is a tefach. The assumption is a normal foot is a tefach wide, so to af gvul nami tefach, so to the width of this pathway around the field is also going to be a tefach. So I'll say halacha lemaaseh, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that therefore when the Mishnah speaks about the size of the vegetable patch, the bavavav, the 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim, that's tocha, that's the inside of the path, not including the additional tefach that goes around the path that goes around the garden to serve as the path to allow you to care for the field. Fine. Amirat comes along around and says the following, another qualification of this statement, of this case. Amirav, aruga bechorva shaninu. The case of the Mishnah, of the vegetable patch, that 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim, in which you can go ahead and sow 5 different species, is talking about an aruga in the churva. Now, what's a churva? A churva means a ruin, right? Which now again, doesn't have to literally mean a ruin. What it means is, it's the only field in its place. There are no other fields in this same area. Look at Rashi. Amarav aruga b'churva shani. So Rashi says, b'mishnah senu lahatir ba hei zarunin. The case of the Mishnah that ultimately allows for a field that is vav al vav to go ahead and have five species sown into it is only a case of a churva that is in a desolate field. Nothing else is there. Avaloshe siyosea arugos, but there are no other neighboring fields. Sharilo pir shulacha ela hefesh zerun shebisocha. Because remember, the Mishnah is focused on what? The Mishnah is focused on the minimum distance between the various seeds that are planted within the garden. However, ulizroa osan shebaruchos aruga. I'm sorry, excuse me, I skipped. However, ve'im tizra arugos sivivoseha lo tuchal laharchik bein osan shebisocha ulizroa osan shebaruchos aruga samuch lugvul laharchika min amtsoi kishiuro lefisha ata makrivo el zera hanizra bechaverta etzagula. So all Rav's pointing out over here is that the case of the Mishnah is dealing with a stand-alone vegetable patch that's in its own area, not next to anything else. Why? Because if the one patch is next to other patches, then what? You have other complicating issues in terms of distancing seeds from one patch to the next. So the Gemara says, aye, but one second. There's a very easy way to establish this. Vaha ika makam kranos. Aye, but you have what? You have the distance of the chronos, you have the distance of the corners. Rabosai, let's analyze what this means for a moment. Essentially, what you need in order for seeds to avoid the appearance of kilayim is because, like I said, like as we started this year, we're not worried about real kilayim. We're worried about the appearance of kilayim. Things growing too close together looks like you're mixing species. In order to avoid that, what you essentially need is a distance of 3 tefachim. That's what you need. The Gemara says you can easily have 3 tefachim. How? Because remember, if you have two neighboring vegetable patches, automatically you have at least 2 tefachim of space. Why? Why? Each one gets its path. We just saw that before. So you have 1 tefach for field for patch A, 1 tefach for patch B. You have that distance right there. Furthermore, and you can see this actually, I'm assuming everybody has that picture in Rashi, there with the multiple fields. So this is the case of Kronos. So the point that Rashi is making over here is there's a way to go ahead and structure, there's a way to go ahead and arrange the vegetable patches that you would have a minimum distance of 3 tefachim in between each of the species. So the truth is, this particular one is not as much drawn to scale, but I'll draw your attention just to illustrate it to you in this picture. So look at the picture in Rashi for just a moment. So I should give you like a longitude and latitude. Yes. So let's focus on the upper two fields in the left hand corner. Okay. So the first two fields on the first row, the most left one and the center one. So if you'll notice again between the two rows going down, you'll notice that there's at least a space of 2 tefachim. That's the empty space in the middle. Plus the two rows themselves do not line up with one another. So there's 3 tefachim of space in between those particular rows. All the Gemara is pointing out, all Rav is pointing out, Rabbi Osai, is that halacha lemaisa, there is a way to arrange multiple patches next to each other while still avoiding any kind of potential semblance of kilayim. So the Gemara says like this. But you could go ahead and distance the field sufficiently each other by distancing the corners. Amri bei Rav Mishmeit Rav Bememali Asakronos. Oh, so what are we talking about? We're talking about a case where in the patches that we're talking about, when the corners are filled. If the corners are filled, then Einachinami, one would run into a problem with multiple patches. So the Gemara says, but 1 second. So why don't you go ahead and plant more on the outer ones, and then go ahead and don't plant as much as on the inner ones? There's a concern that what? There's a concern that you may come to fill in the corners. And if you fill in the corners after the fact, then in Achinami, you will have a kilayim issue. Velo yehei el rosh tor yerek. So now the Gemara raises a different question. But why should this be any worse than the case of the rosh tor yerek? Now, what the rosh tor yerek we're going to see is the case of where the corner of a vegetable field extends into another field. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Velo yehei el rosh tor kilomar afilu mile oso ve'achar kach zora garin acher bechaverta. Let's say you went ahead and you filled in the corners. Filled in the corners, and then you end up planting another patch right next to it. Ve'ein hefrish kishir beino lebein zera shebezu. Mavikach. So let's see, says the Imam, what's the worst? Let's play this out. So remember, really what you need in order to avoid the appearance of kilayim is you need at least 3 tefachim in between each type of seed. So now the concern is that if you end up planting vegetable patches next to each other, even if initially there is that distance, Gemara is concerned that maybe you're going to end up filling in the corners and there'll be less than 3 tefachim from each other. So Gemara says, let's say you do end up filling in the corners. Who cares? Why? Look what he writes over here. V'lo ye'el rosh tor, in the middle of this Rashi, v'achazor garin acher b'chavirta, v'ein evrish kashir lebeino lebein zera shevazu, ma v'kach, I'm in the first short line of Rashi. Lo ye'e nidon el kirosh tor yerek, hanimshach uba misadezu, lisadezu. So we'll say, if you have the following case, let's say you have a vegetable field, and one row of the vegetable field extends into another vegetable field. So the Gemara says, Shenira yafe she'eno mizu shenichnas lo ela mizu sheyotze mimeno v'ike hekera uli yenika lo chayshina. So mostly the Gemara raises a very interesting case, what we call the case of Rosh Tor Yerek, the tip of a vegetable field. What does that mean? Let's say if you have two fields, and let's say field A, a row from field A extends, overruns its boundaries, and runs into field B. So the Gemara says that's no problem with Kelayim. Why? Because it's clear that the row is just extending from field A. It's not really what? It's not what? It's not being planted together with field B. Right? The idea of Kelayim is you're planting things together. So the Gemara says when the row of field A overruns its boundaries and runs into B, it's clear that it's not being planted with B. It just overran its boundaries. So what the Gemara essentially is saying is that halacha l'maisa, when it's clear that the crops, that the seeds, that the plants belong to two different things, there really shouldn't be a problem of Kelayim to begin with. So the Gemara says the following. Milo Tnan, did we not learn? If the tip of one field extends into another field, mutter, it's okay. Why? Right? So the Gemara says, because again, why? Because halacha l'maisa, all it looks like is, because once again, I can't say enough, we're not really concerned with real kilayim over here. This is not an issue of real. The word for kilayim, real forbidden mixtures, right? Grafting. That's not what we're worried about over here. What we're worried about is the appearance of kilayim. So here you come along, and who is this saying this? This is the Gemara saying it. Then why should you have to worry at all? Because after all, we already have precedent for this idea that when the row of one field overruns its boundaries and runs into another field, it's not kilayim because it's clear that you're not planting them together. It's just growing outside of its boundaries. All the more so, if you have one patch next to another patch, it's clear that halacha l'maisa, they are not being grown together. To which the Gemara says, Ein rosh tor ba'aruga. To which the Gemara says, this halacha does not apply to a vegetable patch. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Ein rosh tor ba'aruga. Ein toras heter rosh tor me'aruga la'aruga. Ela misode gidola l'soch aruga. Or me aruga l'soch sade gidola, or me sade gidola l'soch sade gidola. So when does the idea of rosh tur? When is that true? Only when you're dealing with a large field, right? Either large field into an aruga into large field, or sade gidola into sade gidola. Why? Avashte arugos lo havi heker ela dome kilu hin achos de lo chashiva kochad va'afi nafsha. So the Gemara answers: there's no such thing as rosh tur by two arugos. Why? Because since it's so small, see what Rebbe said, what's the halacha? If one of the things you're dealing with is a large field, then whether it's the row of the large field that extends into the aruga, or the row of the aruga that extends into the large field, it's clear. It's obvious, because the large field has a seder to it, it's clear that this extra row extending is not an intention for kilayim, it's just overrunning its border. When you have two arugos, says the Gemara, arugos are small. Because they're small, if one row begins to overrun its boundaries and go into something else, it looks like they are being mixed. It's not clear that it's simply overrunning its boundaries, but rather it does have the actual appearance of kilayim. Therefore, the Gemara says we don't hold of this rosh tor by aruga la aruga, and therefore if the corners of the multiple fields are filled in, it will in fact create a kilayim problem. So the Gemara goes weiter. Amarula. They had the following question in Eretz Yisrael. Ma'arava is Eretz Yisrael. Hifkia telem echad al pnei kula mahu. So look at Rashi over here. Rashi says, no Rashi. I skipped that. I'm sorry. Shmuel Amar, excuse me. Shmuel Amar, thank you. Aruga ben ha'arugos shaninu. So Shmuel says the following. Aruga ben arugos. So what does that mean? So Rashi said, no, Rashi yet, I'm sorry. Shmuel says, aruga ben arugos shaninu. That's what are we talking about? The Mishnah could even be referring to a case of one patch among multiple patches. Remember, Rav, Machlokis Rav and Shmuel had to interpret the Mishnah. Rav wanted to say that the Mishnah only works of planting five species within one patch is when? Only when the aruga is in a churva. It's a standalone aruga, for the reasons we just said. Otherwise, you get into kilayim issues. Shmuel says, no, you can even have a case of what? Aruga ben arugos. You can even have a situation of where the one patch is situated among multiple other patches. But one second, we just demonstrated that the problem with that case is what? That everything gets mixed together. Binota shura lekan, v'shura lekan. What's the case? The case is where you plant one row here and one row there. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Benote shur lekan v'shur lekan. Mamshich shal ruach zu b'tzad zu kerem mizrachis sifonis. V'shal zu l'tzad ma'aravis duromis. What is the idea of Shmuel? Staggered planting. When everything is done in a staggered fashion, so that different rows are facing in different directions, then even if you have the patches next to each other, it's clear that what? It's clear that they are not being planted together. Therefore, Shmuel says, as long as you engage in this process of staggered planting, you can even go ahead and have multiple patches, one next to the other. Okay. So the Gemara says the following. Amr Ula. Ula says like this. Bo'um Ma'arava, they ask the following Shaila in Eretz Yisrael. Hifkia telem echad al pnei kula mahu. So look at Rashi. Hifkia lashon kriya. So hifkia literally means tore. We'll see what this means. Just about shokoriya hakarka. You're ripping the land. What does that mean? Telem ma'aneshura al pnei kula. I'm reading Rashi. Sheheivir mizera shebet safon lizera shebet daram derech ha'entzoi. Vizaro me'echad haminin o mimin shishi mahu. Bosai, very interesting shaila. So Ula asks, see Rabosai, the assumption is that the way this field is working, how? That's like the picture we had in Rashi in the Mishnah. That the way you're planting five different species is how? You have one on each of the sides, one on each of the sides, and one like punkt in the middle. So Ula asked a very interesting shaila. What happens if instead of the middle, you have one of the species going across the square, from top to bottom of the square? Whether that means you're putting in there a sixth species, or we'll keep it easy. Let's say the fifth species, instead of just being a dot, is a whole line across. Obviously, let's assume, by the way, that you have still a distance in between the species that runs up from the top to the bottom and between the one on the sides there, right? Saloch lemaisa, Ula asks, what does that do to this equation? Hifkia telem, so literally translated means, if you rip a telem, telem is like a furrow. If you rip a telem through the square, which means that you just planted the entire, we'll call it the entire way from top to bottom of the square, what does that do? So Amud Rav Sheshes, Ba Yirvuv Ubitala Sashura. This mixture comes along and is Mevatal the Shura, is Mevatal the order. Therefore Rashi says, Ba Yirvuv Ubitala Sashura, Va'asr. Va'asr. So Rav Sheshes says that this messed up everything and therefore you've thrown everything off and the whole thing is Asr. Okay. Rav Asi says, Ein Eruv Mevatal Sashura. Rav Asi comes along and says, no. The introducing of this little this air of this mixture, this new variable, is not mevatel to the shore, does not disrupt the order for the rest of the patch. So the Gemara says Vaiter. The Gemara says Esve. So Mary raises a kasha. Esve Ravina the Ravashi. So Ravina raises a question to Ravashi. So remember again, the Gemara is calling Ravashi over here. So fine. So we have so far, just so you understand, we have Rav Sheshes telling us that halacha lemaaseh, if you run the row from the middle up from the top to the bottom, that throws off the entire equation, and therefore that vegetable patch will be asur. Yeah, Rav Asi saying that it's mutter. Ravina comes along and asks on Rav Ashi the following kasha: Hanoteya shtei shuros shel kishuin, shtei shuros shel diluin, shtei shuros shel pul hamitzri. If a person plants two rows of cucumbers, two rows of gourds, and two rows of pula mitzri. Pula mitzri was a type of, it literally means an Egyptian lentil. Okay? An Egyptian bean. So what's the halacha? Mutter. The halacha is that it's mutter. That's okay. Look at Rashi. Why is it mutter? The shtei shuros, first of all, shtei shuros shel kishum, ve'etzlan shtei shuros shel dilun, ve'etzlan bei shuros shel pula mitzri, ve'lo ba'aruga ela besada gedola. Now this is not talking about a vegetable patch. This is talking about, say, in a larger field. So in a large field, you plant two rows each of different species. Mutarashi says, the shtei shuros chashivi lemehavi sada lenafshayu. Because two rows already almost constitutes its own type of field. Ve'havi hekira dechol min u'min milsa ba'ampe nafshe. And therefore there is a hecker, there's a recognizable difference, because each and every min kind of stands on its own. So each of these two rows is considered to be its own field, and there's no concern of kilayim. Fine. However, shura achos, shel kishuin, v'shura achos, shel diluin, but if you have one row of cucumbers, one row of gourds, v'shura achal shapula mitzri, osir, that's osir. That's osir. Look at Rashi. Shura achos, mikol echad, if you only have one row of each of these items, then havi irvov. That's considered to be a mixture. So I will say, why is this a kashya on Ravasi? Because again, Ravasi was the one who said that halacha lemaaseh, if you run that middle patch from top to bottom, that it's okay. But the Gemara is saying, you see over here, that if you plant one row next to another row, then halacha lemaaseh, that has the appearance of kelayim, and it's usur. So how could Ravasi permit it? Shiny hacha, no. The case over here is different. Why? Di'ika saracha. Because over here the difference is that the vines of these particular items are relatively long. So for example, if you only plant one row of cucumbers next to one row of gourds, next to one row of this Egyptian lentil, the growth, what that means, actually the vines or the plants of them are relatively large and they grow over one into the other. Because they grow over one into the other, therefore halacha lemaisa, they have the appearance of kelayim. Why doesn't that apply if you're planting two rows of it? Because when you plant two rows of something, it's more recognizable as an independent min. And therefore, each one will be viewed as its own independent sada. Now, because again, these are leafy items, they'll grow in one into the other, have the appearance of kelayim. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Kana Rav Yochanan, Harotze lemalos kol ginoso yerek, not new topic, but continuation of the same topic, Rav Kana Rav Yochanan, Harotze lemalos kol ginoso yerek, if a person wants to fill up his entire field with vegetables, look at Rashi. Kol ginoso yerek shahar beminin. So if a person wants to maximize his space, his garden space, and wants to plant as many species as possible, then what should you do? Ose aruga shisha al shisha, v'ogel ba chamisha, umemale kranoseha kol mashi yirtze. So what do you do? What do? You go ahead. This is actually very interesting. We actually have a picture of this. It's kind of like a picture of it in Tosus. So what should you do? Look at Rashi. Ose, kol arugo seha mirubos. So you go ahead and you do the following. V'ogel, bechol aruga hei. V'zora be'egel min echod. V'yesh heker har be'ladavar. V'ein tzarech laharchiv bein aruga lechaverta. V'zorea chatzi tefach asobev. So the Gemara essentially says, the greatest way to maximize your planting space within a vav by vav square is to essentially draw a circle within that square and fill up the circle as much as you want with vegetables, whatever it is that you're planting. So look at Rashi one more time. Rashi says, well, let's read the inside actually one more time. Harot Slamas Kol Ginoso Yark. If one wants to fill up his entire vegetable patch with vegetables, what do? Osa Aruga Shishal Shisha. You make the row, you make the patch, 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim. V'ogil b'chamisha. And you go ahead and you literally make the circle the size of 5. O'memala Kol Kranoseh Kol Mashi Yirtze. And you fill in the corners anything you want. Now again, look at Rashi. Kol Ginoso Yark Shahar Beminin. Osa Kol Aruga Aruga Seha. Mirubos vav va'ogel b'chalaruga hay v'zoreya v'ugal min echad. You go ahead and you put in the circle one type of min. V'yesh heker har b'ladavar v'ein tzarach laharchiv bein aruga lechaverta. And you would not have to distance anything between one row and the next. V'zoreya chatzi tefach hasovev eskol haaruga v'aruga mishar minin l'fisha kol echad v'echad nira mekomo chaluk li'atzmo. And you'd be able then to go ahead, because the whole circle is of one min, you'd be able to go ahead and plant other stuff in the other species, and it's clearly discernible. So the Gemara says, one second. V'ha ika de beni beni. Aye, but you still have the in-between spaces. Look at Rashi. V'ha ika de beni ubeni. Right, you have the area in between patches that can't be sown. So the Gemara says, Amri de be rabyanai b'marchiv ben habenayim. What's the case? The case is that one leaves the area in between fallow. If one leaves that area in between fallow, then ultimately that allows you to even fill in the corners as well. Rav Ashi says, Im hayu ziruin shesi, zoron orev. Orev, zoron shesi. So Rav Ashi gives a different approach. Rav Ashi, look at Rashi, Im hayu ribua ha'arugos ziruin shesi, zorea ben habinayim orev. Rav Ashi gives another approach. Rav Ashi says that halacha lemaisa, the easiest way to maximize your space is if one patch is, let's say, sewn in a vertical patch in fashion, then sew the next patch in the horizontal fashion. The idea of Osei is that apparently if you go ahead, which is really what Ula said before with the staggered planting. If you go ahead and you dramatically vary up the method of planting one patch to the next in halacha l'maisa, you won't run into any kind of kilayim problem. So Ravina raised the kasha to Ravashi. Avodas yerek biyerek acher shishat fachim. That if you want to go ahead and plant one vegetable with another vegetable, Rashi says, avodas yerek biyerek acher kama shir avodaso laharchik mimenu laharchik kaver menu kidei avodaso. So if you want to go ahead and plant one vegetable to another vegetable, and you're going to do it in an area of shishat fachim, so what do you do? So I will say the Gemara says over here that halacha lemaisa, if you want to go ahead and plant within an area above tefachim, and you want to maximize your space, so you can maximize your space in an area above tefachim by planting five different species, how do you do it? You have to view the area kitavla mirubas. You have to view it like a square board. Kitavlo hudishari ha'lov ha'chi asur. Shabbos said, what the Gemara seems to be saying is the only way you can maximize an area of vav by vav is to use it as a square, not to use it as a circle. Look at Rashi. Kitavla mirubas alma agula lavarugahi. Shabbos said, this seems to discount the advice that we had before of drawing the circle within the square, maximizing that space. The Gemara seems to say the only way to maximize the space of a square that's vav avav is by using it as a square. So the Gemara says, "Ha kitavlu d'shari." It's only if you use it as a square that it's a motor. Ha lav ha ki aser. But any other type of arrangement would be aser. To which the Gemara says, "No. Hasam la'akule ba'kula achrina la'hati rosh tor hayotzi mimena." No. So the Gemara says the only reason why the Brisa said to use it as a square is because if you use it as a square, there is one important kula that comes out from it. What's the kula by using it as a square? The kula of Rosh Tur. Remember, what's Rosh Tur? Well, so we had that before. Rosh Tur says that if you have an area and let's say the row of vegetables overruns its borders and runs into the next field, then halacha lemaisa what? That's not considered kilayim. Why? Because lemaisa, it's clear. Meaning, it has the appearance that it's overrunning its boundary. It's not being planted there for the sake of mingling with the other plants that are there, but rather it simply overran its boundary. Rabboso, what's interesting about this is the following. So therefore, the Gemara says, if you plant your field as a square, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, you could avail yourself of the kula of Rosh Tur. Now, of course, what's interesting about this approach is what? We said before that Rosh Tur doesn't apply to an aruga, right? That Rosh Tur only applies to a sada gadol. But it could be so, but Pashas, the simple answer is like this. Look at Rashi. Hasam debay mirubas, la'ach shavua sada ka'amar, la'hati Rosh Tur. But less late l'Rab Yochanan hada amr la'el, ein Rosh Tur ba'aruga. So therefore Rashi says, this approach in the Gemara does not hold like Rab Yochanan. Right, Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said that there's no concept of Rosh Tor by the Aruga. The Tana over here holds there is a concept of Rosh Tor by the Aruga. Another possibility is Isli me Aruga la Aruga, Avame Sada la Aruga, Yesh Rosh Tor. Or the simple answer could be what Rabbi Osai, that the case that we're dealing with over here is a case where the Aruga is next to what? Next to a Sada Gadol. And even Rabbi Yochanan holds that Rosh Tor works from an Aruga to a Sada Gadol. So bottom line, the Gemara says, Rabbi Osai, that halacha lemaisa, you can maximize your area above above by using the circular method. It's just by using the circular method, you lose out on the ability to maximize the kula of Rosh Tor. If you're using the square, at least that it gives you the ability to use the Rosh Tor kula. All right, Rabbi Osai. Ari, have a good day.
Thank you very much.
Call you too. Bye-bye.